Hello, hello. You hear me? Brilliant. Just before we kick off, I just want to say a big thank you to everyone who has prayed or helped us to move. We're in our house. It's amazing. Absolutely love it. It's perfect for us in so many ways. And we just wake up each morning completely like amazed and have to pinch ourselves thinking, are we actually here? So it's so great. Thank you so much. So we haven't got like a printer or anything, so I've got no PowerPoint or no internet or anything. I've actually written my notes on the back of an IKEA instruction manual. So if I start telling you how to assemble flat pack furniture partway through, that's why, okay? Okay, so we're starting a new series today, and the theme of the series is I am. And Jesus says a number of I am statements throughout the book of John, like I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world. And so we're going to be looking at those statements, and we're going to be trying to understand what did Jesus mean when he said this, and what does that mean for us when he said this. And so today what we're going to do is I'm going to give a bit of a brief introduction to the statement I am, so we can understand it a bit better for today and the weeks to come. And then we're going to look at the first I am statement, okay? And that is, before Abraham was born, I am. So, in order to understand what the phrase I am means, I need you all to get involved with this, okay? I've only got two examples, I couldn't think of a third, but nice to see you. There you go. He's behind you. Oh, no, he isn't. Okay. Why did you all know what to say? It's brainwashing, maybe. It's because those phrases are actually part of our culture. Okay, if you were to go into a different culture and say those phrases like, nice to see you, they might say, nice to see you too. It will be lost on them because it's not part of their culture. And you know, there's probably people in this room who didn't have a clue what to say after those points, which to us is quite amusing, but it's absolutely fine. You know, they're part of a different culture and that's normal. And so if we want to understand the phrase, I am, and what it meant for the people at that time, we have to go back and do a little bit of research to kind of understand how significant that phrase was, what it meant for them, so that we can understand what Jesus was saying when he said it. So, we're going to turn, to start off with, to Exodus chapter 3. And while we're doing that, just give you a bit of background. Over the summer, we looked at the story of Joseph and how Joseph brought his family down into Egypt, and Joseph was second in command over the whole of Egypt. Well, we're a little bit later on. The Israelites have grown massively in number. There's loads of them now. And Pharaoh has enslaved them all because he's scared of them. Moses is born. He's adopted as a prince, but he kills someone, so runs away and spends 40 years being a shepherd. And then one day, God turns up to him and says, I'm going to set the Israelites free. And he tells Moses he's going to use him to do it. And Moses doesn't believe God can use him. He starts doubting. And if we start from verse 13, this is one of the Moses' doubts to God. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask, what is his name? And what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. That is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation." Now, we can't see it in there because we've got a translated Bible, but in the Hebrew, the phrase "I am" and the phrase "the Lord" are very, very similar. And the point is that this is the first case in the Bible where God actually gives his name. And his name is "I am." And so in this series, as we look at the "I am" statements, we can see Jesus doing three things. Okay. Firstly, he's identifying himself as God. For Jesus to say, "I am," in that kind of way, he's saying, "I'm God." And that's a big statement. He's fully man, fully God. It's like me turning around to you and saying, "I am God." It's a huge statement, okay? And for them, even more so. Secondly, the "I am" statements show us what God is like. And we can see what Jesus is like by looking at Jesus. So when Jesus says, "I am the bread of life," we understand a bit that God is our provision, our daily, our staple. When we read, "I am the light of the world," we understand that God is light. He helps us to see, he helps us to navigate, he helps us to move forward. And thirdly, Jesus drawing on the historical context. Remember, in Moses' time, in the book of Exodus, all the Israelites were enslaved. God shows up, says, "I am," and then goes about setting the people free. Now we've got Jesus showing up, saying, "I am," and he goes about setting the people free from sin, from sickness, from death, from demons, from everything. So he's drawing a parallel between himself and the story of God in the people of Israel already. And so that's a brief introduction. I'd really encourage you to go away and over the next few weeks and months, really get your teeth into the book of John. There's so much in there. It's such a rich book. And see if you can find the "I am" statements and spend some time thinking on them, okay? So, this morning we're going to look at the phrase, "Before Abraham was born, I am." So, if you've got your Bibles there, do you want to turn to John chapter 8? And just to put it in a bit of context for you, we're picking up halfway through a chapter, and we're sort of towards the end. And previous to the part we're going to read, Jesus and the people around him have been arguing about who Jesus is. And just before we join in, Jesus has just said that they as Jews didn't actually belong to God. And this is their response. We're going to go from verses 48 to the end of the chapter at 59. So he says, "You don't belong to God." 48. The Jews answered him, "Aren't we right in saying that you're a Samaritan and demon-possessed?" "I am not possessed by a demon," said Jesus, "but I honor my Father and you dishonor me. I am not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Very truly, I tell you, whoever obeys my word will never see death." At this, they exclaimed, "Now we know that you're demon-possessed. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. Yet you say that whoever obeys your word will never taste death." And verse 53 is a verse I want us to focus in on a little bit here. "Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are?" Jesus replied, "If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, who you claim is your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I'd be a liar like you. But I do know him and obey his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad." "You are not even 50 years old," they said to him, "and you've seen Abraham?" "Very truly, I tell you," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am." At this, they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. Okay, so first thing we're going to look at then is, what did this "I am" statement mean to the people who heard it? We know it's obviously quite significant because they picked up stones and tried to kill him. So it obviously meant a lot. It must have struck a few nerves and really made their blood boil, really got them angry. But just like with the culture thing we saw earlier, it's kind of hard to see that. So we have to unpack it a little bit. So I'm going to need some volunteers to play a game. I need 8 people, please. And all you have to do is come up and hold a piece of paper, so it's not that hard. Come on, Holly. Thank you. You are now the President of America. Holly, you are now the Pope. There you go. You are now a celebrity. You are now the Queen.
That's because she lives in our house.
Paul, you are head of the United Nations. You are a member of Parliament. You are Joe Bloggs. And one more person. You're the Prime Minister if you want to be it. There you go. Okay. So what we've got here is we've got a list of people, most of whom are important in our culture and society in some way, shape, or form. The only one who isn't really is Joe Bloggs at the end, okay? For those of you who don't know, this is a culture thing again, Joe Bloggs refers to just an everyman, just a normal person, okay? So the rest of these are all quite important. So we're going to do a little bit of higher or lower. That end is higher, that end is lower, and we'll keep Joe Bloggs at the bottom, okay? So the Pope, should she be here or should she be higher or lower? True. Up or down? Down. Oh, some people saying higher, some people down. Do you want to move that way a bit, Polly? Okay. Celebrities. Oh, okay. Pope or celebrities? Right. Go down to Joe Bloggs then. Go Joe Bloggs. Okay, wow, that's saying something, isn't it? Okay, who else have we got? We've got the Queen. Oh, okay, Queen at the top. Come on, head of the UN. What about the Prime Minister? Controversial. I'm talking about the office in general. Not an individual person, okay? Yeah, I didn't want to get too political this morning, you know. Okay.
Higher then.
Higher, yeah, higher than the Pope. President of America. That's a good one. The office, not the post holder. Yeah, okay. Higher, okay. Higher than the Pope? Okay, wow. Higher than the Pope. Higher than our Prime Minister? Okay, wow. In terms of power and influence and importance. Yeah? Head of the UN? I think you go that way. You go that way. Now, President of the United States or the Queen? queen. Okay, well done.
Good on you, Joe.
Okay. Where would you put yourself? Because I know if it was me looking at all these... All right, Paul. I know if it was me looking at this list of people, I'd be like down there with Joe Bloggs. Okay? Probably even put a few celebrities in more important than me. But, you know, like, when you look at this quality of people, you think, wow, those guys are really important. Okay? For most of them, anyway. And so... What Jesus is doing when he's saying this phrase is he's actually putting himself right over there, right at the top. Not just even as important as the queen. He's putting himself here. More important than anyone else there is. Okay? Can you give him a little round of applause? Thank you very much. And so, Jesus is making this amazing statement about himself. When he's saying, before Abraham, I am, he's putting himself at the top of the list of the people of the day. And I'm going to need another four people to come and help me do the second part of this. It can be people, if you've already come up, you can come up again, it's fine. But they might be slightly more important roles this time. Go on, Johnny. Right. Johnny, you can be Jesus. There you go. You are God. Abraham and the prophets. Okay. Right, Johnny, if you just wait down there for me. Thank you. Now, the people of Jesus' day, their scale of who's the most important, you had God, obviously. In fact, God is kind of off the scale. So we're going to move God right the way over to here. Okay, he is super, super, super important. The next most important person to them is Abraham. So Abraham, can you come up here, please? Now, you've got to stay away off God because you're not that good. Okay, but you're there. And Abraham's really important to them because from him, all of the Israelites, all the Jews are descended from him. And God kind of started the mission off with him. So next is the prophets. Excuse me, pop yourself there. Thank you. And the prophets are really important to them because they've spoken the word of God to them over the generations and hundreds of years. And so when we get to verse 53, and they say, are you greater than Moses? Moses? Abraham. Thank you. He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are? It's like saying, come up here, Jesus. You think you can get on this list? You think you're anywhere close to the prophets or even to Abraham? And so I'm just going to paraphrase here how the argument goes, okay? The Jews are mocking him and say, are you more important than the queen or the pope or the prime minister? And Jesus says, I'm not saying I'm greater on my own. God says it about me. And if I didn't say it, I'd be a liar like you. Abraham, who's really important to them, looked forward to seeing Jesus coming. And when he's saying that, he's sort of indicating that he sees himself as more important than Abraham. So, Johnny, can you go around and just put yourself just there, just next to Abraham? Thank you. Okay. And so they turn around to him and says, how can Abraham have looked forward to you? You know, Abraham was nearly 2,000 years before Jesus. You know, and they're saying that you're not even 50 years old. What you're saying is absolute rubbish. And Jesus says, no, I'm telling you the truth. And he uses the phrase, before Abraham was born, I am. And when he's saying that, what he's doing is he's not only saying, yes, I am more important than Abraham, he's saying, before Abraham was born, I am. Excellent. Okay? He's identifying himself as God. Yeah, thank you. And is more important than Abraham, and more important than the prophets, and actually more important than anybody else who has ever been and ever will be, because he's God. Can you give these guys a round of applause, please? And so you can understand a bit then why they picked up stones to kill him. Because what he was saying was not just a nice little bit of theology. He was actually claiming to be both fully human and fully God, which we have heard, you know, we teach that, but in that day, that was completely new and bonkers and balmy to them, it seemed. And so for them, that was offensive. It really was offensive. And so that's why they picked up stones to kill him. Yeah, it was blasphemy. Okay. So Jesus, in saying, before Abraham was born, I am, what he's saying is that he is actually the most important person ever. Full stop. That's it. He is the most important person that has ever been or ever will be in the future. Okay? There's nobody else even comes close to how important and how superior Jesus is to everybody else. Okay, so that's what it meant for them. But what does that mean for us? Well, the Jews are basically asking him this question. Who do you think you are, Jesus? And we too have got to face the question of who do we think Jesus is? Because if we just think of him as an ordinary person, like a Joe Bloggs down at this end, then actually the fact that he died doesn't make any difference to us. He was just another victim of the Roman Empire, like thousands of others who just died. But actually, if he is right the way up at this end, if he is the most important person in the entire universe, and he died for you, then that has some really big implications. That is what we've got to look into and dig a bit deeper into. It would be a bit like, we won't need to get them back up, but can you imagine if you came home one day and the Queen was in your house doing your laundry? How would that make you feel? Like, I'd be like, I don't know what to do. Why is this really, really important person cleaning my clothes and hanging them out to dry? That's not how it works. I'm supposed to do that for her, not the other way around, because she's more important. How would you react if you opened the curtains and looked at your back garden and saw the Pope mowing the lawn? Okay? It's like, what are you doing? Pulling the weeds out. It's like, you're not supposed to do that. I'm supposed to do that. You're supposed to be up here being really, really important. Okay? And this is a bit controversial. What would you say if you find the Prime Minister cleaning your toilet? But again, that grates against us because we see all these important people over here. And we think, oh, we're somewhere down here, so why should they be serving us? Why should they do anything for us? They're more important than we are. Getting a bit closer to home. How would you feel if somebody fired a gun at you and the President of the United States jumped in the way and took a bullet that was going to kill you and actually it kills them instead? How would that make you feel? it'd be weird, wouldn't it? Because actually, what it's showing is when somebody does something like that, it shows how much they value you. You know, if the Queen were to come and do my laundry, it must be because not only do they like me, does she like me, but she wants to help me. She wants to benefit me and help me out, whatever way she can. And, you know, if we're thinking about this list of who's important, we've got Jesus all the way up here, the most important person in the whole world. And he goes to the cross. And in doing that, he's not just doing my laundry. He's cleaning up a mess. He's not just mowing the grass. He's more like he's taking a bullet. He's spending his life and dying horrifically so that all my mess, all my sin, all my shame, all my guilt can get washed away. And what happens is, what should have been my fate becomes his fate. And what should have been his fate becomes my fate. The most important person in the world ever thinks that you are worth dying for. And he did. So, we and you are incredibly valuable to God. So how do we respond to this? Because when the people of Jesus' day, they heard what he said, they picked up stones to throw at him. And we too will have to have a response to this. I'd like us to do two things this morning as we think about what's been said. And we're going to ask two things of God. The first is we're going to ask God to show us how important and amazing Jesus actually is. Because it's all right for me to say, you know, Jesus is up here, he's at the top. And you can think, yeah, right, Jesus, top of the list, that's done. But actually, to really understand how amazing he is, I can't teach you that. God's got to show that to you. You've got to experience that and see him for yourself and really get it in your heart far more than you just get it in your head. So we're going to ask that for God this morning. The second thing is that we're going to ask God to show us how important we are to him. Because if the most important person ever was willing to be stripped, naked, beaten, pierced, crucified, and publicly humiliated for you, then he must think something of you. You must be really valuable to him. And actually, if we don't get that, then we're missing something really, really important about what God thinks about us. So, I'm going to hand over to Dave, and I think we're going to have some prayer.